JB, thanks for joining, man. Appreciate joining the podcast here.
Yeah, no, this is my pleasure. This is an awesome setup and fireside chat. I like
fireside chat. Hey, the past week has been a whirlwind, man. And to me, it really illustrates, puts into perspective, like, the two different seasons. Everybody says, you know, when conference play starts, oh, it's a new season. I mean, non-conference play feels like a world ago at this point. But you look at the last week of play, Charlotte, UAB, two huge wins, overtime against FAU. Just to start off with what's happening, and then now just take me through the last 8 days. It's been a meaningful 8 days for you.
Yeah, well, it's almost a cliche, but it's not, because it's true.
Right.
Conference play is a new season. Now, this year was really bizarre, playing FAU as early as we did the first time at their place.
Right.
Also bizarre how we played in that game, but that felt out of place. Coming back from the new year, and coming, you know, coming back from the break, it really felt like, new season.
Right.
You know? And we go at North Texas, who's a great team. North Texas has been the class of the league for the last 3 years. And to go on the road and really put out great effort. I thought our effort was great. I thought our connectivity was great.
Sure.
I thought North Texas played terrific coming off of a hard-fought loss to FAU. And we are not in this for moral victories. We lost by 15 points. But we came out of that knowing that, hey, North Texas just played terrific to seal the game down the stretch.
Yeah.
And if we can maintain and sustain that kind of defensive effort, that kind of toughness, that we'd give ourselves a chance to beat anyone. So, you know, we go into last week with Charlotte and UAB, two of the best teams in the non-conference, in our conference, two of the best teams in this conference. And, you know, I actually mentioned this to the team last night, that, you know, there's two ways you could look at this. You could look at our conference schedule and say that Conference USA did us no favors with this opening slate of of games that we have. But you could also look at it on the flip side and say they did us the biggest favor in the world, and giving us the teams that are the most established, have the highest expectations, that had the most success in the non-conference, and it allows us to test ourselves and gauge where we're at against them. And we showed last week that we've really made progress. We showed last week and even last night who we can be. You know, we didn't for 1 second hope we were gonna win. We didn't for 1 second think, oh, maybe we can win this. We knew that we could win. We went into last week with every intention of beating Charlotte, beating UAB. We went into last night with every intention of beating FAU. And our effort and our preparation, it all was up to the level, and, you know, we just came up a little bit short.
You talk about the schedule, and that's a good point. It can seem a little daunting. You know, you're 0-2 in conference play, and then you got Charlotte, you got UAB, you got FAU coming up. But to me, I felt the end of the North Texas game, something clicked, something switched. I think we trailed by as many as 23 in that game. But down the stretch, you saw a fight from the guys. You saw execution from the team. Denver went on a little bit of a heater to end that game. And it felt like when we were on that flight back home, you know, it wasn't just the New Year's Eve camaraderie that led to the spirit on the way back. It felt like something clicked, and that carried over to the Charlotte game. What gave you a mindset of optimism even after that loss, when we were a game under 500, started 0-2 in league play, but it felt like, hey, maybe something's going here.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, I do think it being the new year helped. You know, we rang in the new year at Miami International Airport, which, you know, you could look at, hey, that, you know, that really sucks or is unfortunate, but we got to ring in the new year with each other.
Right.
And that was powerful. But what we showed in that game at North Texas was character. And we showed what we were capable of. North Texas played tremendous for us to be down 23. They played tremendous to win by 15. And I think that any coach that objectively watches our film would tell you that our talent, our ability, who we are, doesn't necessarily match who our record is.
Yeah.
And I think we're starting to see that. But this league's tough. You can play well in this league and lose three games in a row.
Yeah. UAB has just figured out.
Exactly.
Right.
Look at UAB. I'm sure, you know, Coach Kennedy feels that they didn't play up to their standard in any of those three games. But I promise you, they didn't play poorly in any of those three games and lost two overtime games and, you know, a really tough one at FAU. So this league is a beast this year. It's the best it's been since I've been here by far.
You mentioned spending time with each other at the airport. You really got to spend a lot of time. What was the baggage? The baggage claim was took 90 minutes that night.
Exactly. It took over 2 hours. The baggage claim took almost as long as the flight from Dallas.
That's the one time I didn't check my bag. Yeah. And I'm
smart
glad
move.
I did.
Smart
it.
Move.
I had to take the Uber to the New Year's Eve festivities. I took no chances that night.
Right.
That worked out for me in that situation. 62-60 over Charlotte. 90-87 in the overtime win against UAB, and then again another overtime game. Just fascinating that UAB and FAU, the final sequence of regulation was the same thing. Arturo driving down the floor, just incredible. But what have you learned about your team in the last week of play? What is the biggest area of growth that you've seen in this last 8 days?
Well, you know, it's obvious. Ray Charles could see that our biggest Achilles heel is taking care of the ball. So that's, really hurt us all year long. But what we saw last week on Thursday against Charlotte, we only had 8 turnovers in that game. Phenomenal number.
You've had halves this year, 17.
Right.
And you went the whole game with 8.
Right.
And you saw the difference in 8.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And then last night, in 45 minutes of play, we only had 11 turnovers against FAU. So, when you turn the ball over excessively, you're just not giving yourself a chance. And in many games this year, we just didn't give ourselves a chance. And so really proud of what we did last night in terms of taking care of the ball, because as you mentioned, the first time we played FAU, we turned the ball over 17 times in the first 20 minutes of the game. So to play 45 minutes and only turn it over 11 times, we gave ourselves a chance. Now, we didn't play perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We didn't play our best basketball. But, we were together and we were dug in to do whatever it took to try to get the win. And that's going to be our mentality and mindset moving forward.
So we're 8-8 now, the time of recording this. The week, go from 6-7 to 8-8, won 4 out of the last 6. And, it's conversation around social media last night still, even despite the loss. Hey, it seems like FIU's figured something out. Seems like if they play this way the rest of the way, they have a lot of things to look forward to in the new year. It's been a process to get to this point. Now all the confidence is there, right? The team feels it. You see the post-game footage, Arturo telling everybody, we play like this, we're going to be hard to beat. How challenging is it for you as a coach, though, to try to put the puzzle pieces together to get to this point where you see this kind of play in practice, but then maybe in the non-conference it wasn't as consistent in the games. Maybe in non-conference you get the great play for 15 minutes or 25 minutes, but not that full 40-minute effort. How challenging is it to get to the point where you're at now? Well, everybody sees what you're capable of now.
Yeah, it's incredibly challenging.
Right.
That's the job. That's the challenge that we take on, but that's – one of the main reasons I get up in the morning. I look forward to this challenge to try to get the best out of all of us. Our team, our young man, our players, they get the best out of me because, they're that special, and I want to give them the best that they can. And, what's tough in college basketball is, we had a 4-game losing streak in December.
Right.
In NBA, you could have a 4-game losing streak, and it lasts – the duration of that losing streak is a week long.
Right.
In the month of December with exams and all of that and the break, our 4-game losing streak lasted pretty much the whole month of December.
Yeah.
So when you have 4 games last that long, it feels like a 10-game losing streak or a 12-game losing streak. But that's not the reality.
Sure.
So it's a testament to the character of our players. It's a testament to my staff, who are all special. To have the guys keep trusting the process and knowing that if we keep putting in the time, if we're diligent about the work we're putting in, if we're vigilant about staying together and getting out of our comfort zone to be great, then success will follow.
Is it more difficult now with rosters that feel like they have to be reconstructed year in and year out to get to that point where we're at now, to the chemistry, the cohesion, and the belief in it? I think last night we had three players who came in as underclassmen, 2 transfers, but you still had to go to the portal at times. Rosters are new year in and year out. Do you find it more difficult now to get that level of cohesion that you prefer when it seems like, you know, it's so easy to have a different roster year in and year out?
Yeah, it's a new normal that all coaches are dealing with.
Yeah.
Now we're starting 4 freshmen and sophomores, so you know that's a lot. That's yeah. very young.
That makes it more difficult. Yeah.
And you know, a lot of what you see now is teams have a lot of new guys each year, but they tend to be older guys, you know, out of the transfer portal. And
yeah.
and we have some very good players out of the transfer portal as well. 3 grad transfers who we love and are very talented and good players, but you know. I would say it's almost atypical to have 4 freshmen and sophomores in a lineup in 2023. But we're excited about that. We're proud of that. And these guys are learning every day. Our older guys are helping them learn. And, you know, we think that it can help us be really dangerous come the end of the season.
One of those sophomores I want to talk to you a little bit about, Denver Jones, who has without a doubt taken a big step forward from year 1 to year 2 here. In December, played a road game, FGCU. He struggled in that game. 2-for-8 shooting, had 6 points. Since then, he's dropped 20 or more points in 6 of the 7 games. He had a career-high 29 against UAB. He played 41 minutes in that game. He played 42 last night. To me, his ability to get to the free throw line has become exceptional. He's top 8, I think, in the league in free throws, but really ramped it up as of late. His ability to create his own shot off the dribble and execute has taken a step forward. What has your evaluation of his jump from year 1 to year 2 been? Because I think it's starting to become inarguable. He's playing like a first-team all-conference player the last few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. He's playing like an All-American.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at his numbers, for all intents and purposes, he's a 50-40-90 guy. So his efficiency scoring the basketball is off the charts. But this is not, I'm not surprised in the slightest. I thought, you know, the fact that Denver Jones was on no one's all conference teams was a huge sign of disrespect.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not sure what people are watching. He averaged almost 13 points a game as a freshman and had many big moments. And he took that as motivation. And I said this many a times. When you get someone who has impeccable character, who has exceptional talent,
right,
and phenomenal work ethic, then success is bound to follow. And Denver Jones checks all 3 of those boxes. And I'm lucky to be his coach. I'm lucky to have him in this program. He's one of the most unselfish people you will see. And man, he loves FIU. He loves his teammates, and we all love him as well. And the whole conference is seeing how special this guy is, and he's playing as good a basketball as anyone.
And he operates with a sense of self-awareness too. I mean, we talked to him after the Charlotte win, in which that was a game. Every time he rebounded the basketball, it was off to the races. Yep. Green light, let's get on the run. And that was from the jump.
Right.
And it was right after the North Texas game where he really didn't assert himself till the end. We were talking about it. And he said, man, I can't do that anymore. I waited too long. I need to set the tone from the start. I realized that. He was very self-aware. He didn't care that he scored at the end of the game, 15 points or so at North Texas. He was upset at himself for waiting that long. Yes. to assert himself. Is that sense of self-awareness and the ability of him to incorporate that improvement the next game, that seems unique to me.
Yeah, well, he's unique.
Yeah.
in every way, shape, or form. You know, he was raised by amazing parents, loving, discipline. You know, they hold him accountable, and you see that. I mean, he's beyond coachable. Shoot, he helps coach me. So, you know, he is we always want him to be aggressive.
Right.
But, you know, he has a very unselfish streak. And he likes to see other people be successful. And he truly plays a team game. And you know, like I said, he's a special player and a special person.
Another young guy that's starting right now before he moved in the starting lineup. The first time we played FAU is Arturo Dean, one of 3 guys we've grabbed from Putnam Science. And, you know, what last night, aside from the points, 4 steals, 4 assists, and just 1 turnover, and that's an awesome level of improvement, taking care of the basketball. I know we're emphasizing that. Something I noticed after the game, after the broadcast had finished, I don't think cameras caught this, the alma mater had finished, players were walking off the court. He stopped you before you guys walked off, me and Coach McCall noticed it, and he said something. It was short. You know, I'm not even sure what it was. It could have been, you know, Coach, I got you next time. Coach, I love you. Coach, I'm sorry. He said something. You guys embraced and then walked off. And whatever was said, to me, it showed a level of investment, of ownership, that this matters to him, that he knows his performance is a huge part of FIU's success. And McCall was just saying, that's special.
Yep.
That's special. You know, how special is it to coach that? That moment stood out to me because I know there's probably shots he wants back from last night, but what makes Arturo Dean special right now?
Whew. Well, we don't have enough time in this podcast to do that, but he's a special young man.
Yeah.
He is a South Florida kid, which we're proud to have a South Florida kid on this roster. We want to be South Florida's team. But he comes from a program. He won a national championship last year.
Yeah.
Didn't lose a game.
No.
And he comes from a great culture at his prep school. They have phenomenal coaches there. He had phenomenal teammates. They play against the best competition in the country. And so him and, his buddy and teammate, Deshaun Giddens, you know, they came in here prepared to have an impact, and they have had an impact. But what makes Arturo Dean special is what's inside of him. And it's his heart. It's his will to, by any means necessary, help his team win.
Right.
And there's a lot of things that freshmen don't know. There's a lot of things that Arturo Dean doesn't yet know. But there's a lot of things that 10-year NBA veterans don't know that Arturo Dean just gets innately. Mm-hmm. And just so fortunate to have him as a coach. You know, he's a freshman. He wanted to take blame for the game last night. I said, no, son. I said, we're not even in the game without you.
Right.
But that's who he is. That's the kind of self-accountability he's willing to, impart on himself. And, there will be special things to come from him this year and certainly in the future.
Yeah, and don't want to forget, just referencing his defensive efforts the last week or so as well. I mean, he was hounding Jordan Walker majority of that game, and so I felt his 0-for-6 performance in the first half was a byproduct of just pure raw effort. Right. It's hard to be efficient from the field. But then he turns around, had 6 buckets in the second half of that game, and a huge part of the comeback. He's a special player.
Most first-year players, you know, you're battling them to understand, hey, you know, this isn't football.
Right.
You got to play both sides of the ball. You know, we play Iron Man football.
It's usually the other way around. They want to play hard on offense.
You play offense and defense, you know. But he loves defense. He takes pride in defense. That's kind of his calling card. And that's special.
I want to ask you, just rewind a little bit to last season and the transition to where we are now, right? So we finished with 15 wins, and it was a tough finish, you know, admittedly, to the year, I think 15-12, and dropped those final 5 games. It was tough. But you have to reevaluate. You look at where FIU was before you and the staff got here. In the 18 years prior to 2018, you arrived, there were only 3 15-win seasons. So there's that. You've changed the standard. But to me, it felt – like there was a sense of disappointment in the way that ended, that something had to change, whether it was culturally, whether it was, you know, how the stylistic nature in which you play. What is that procedure of self-evaluation of looking at your program when he's taking, because you hadn't struggled that much since, and I don't even want to call it struggling, because again, you've raised the floor of FIU basketball. But what is that process for you? You come here, 20-win season. You come here, next season, almost 20 wins. COVID wiped out the chance for that. But what was that process like of saying, hey, identifying what maybe went wrong? How can we get back to where we want to be?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that was a bitter, bitter, and still is a bitter pill to swallow,
right?
How we ended last season. You know, we're sitting there at 15-12, you know, 4 regular season games left and the conference tournament, thinking, you know, we're in play for another 20-win season.
Right.
And, you know, we had some injuries and lost some close games, but we just, you know, we kind of fell apart there. And, we have had to sit and stew with that for the whole offseason. And, you know, I thought there were some things, you know, character-wise, culture-wise, where we just weren't where we needed to be last year.
Sure.
And we certainly addressed that in recruiting. We certainly addressed that on a daily basis with our players. You know, you can't win without culture. Can't win without being coachable. You can't win without connectivity. You can't win without discipline and hard work. And these guys understand that.
Right.
Anyone that spends any time around this group understands how competitive they are, how hard they work, but also understands how together they are, how full of life they are. And you know, I'm just so fortunate that I get to be the benefactor of how full of life my team is.
You took the job 2018. It was your first head coaching gig. You spent time in the ACC. When you're at Pitt, you started your coaching career at the alma mater at Colgate, and then of course also with Rhodes at VCU as well. Shaka Smart. What have you learned in the 5+ years since you've been here now? How do you feel you've developed as a coach? Do you do anything different now than you did when you showed up here in 2018? Ever think about that aspect of things?
Absolutely. I look at it like becoming a parent. You know, you you know, you're never fully prepared to be a parent. But when it happens, like, hey, you got to figure it out. And what you come to realize is, okay, yeah, I wasn't ready at all, but at the same time, I was ready. And I was so fortunate. Every head coach that I worked for were fantastic head coaches who invested in me as an assistant coach and wanted me to think like a head coach and tried to prepare me to be a head coach. So I really felt prepared when we got here. You know, I had a plan and vision in mind. But most importantly, you know, I wanted to get a staff in place that who I could trust and who I love. And that's what we've had. We've had a lot of continuity here, which is very hard to have in sports. And that's helped a lot. But no, just continuing to learn, you know, about what works. You know, what works in Conference USA, what works at FIU, what works in Miami, what works for me and our staff, what works for our players. You know, it's constantly evaluating, reevaluating, examining, brainstorming on how we can be better. And, you know, we have a new administration in place with Scott Carr. You know, new president Jessel, and they're all invested in FIU being successful on all fronts, including athletics and including basketball. And you know, we're proud to be a part of that. We're excited about that. We're excited about the future, but we're excited about the present now, because we truly feel that we have a run in us. You know, we truly feel that we can compete with any team in our league, and that's saying a lot. You know, we just played a team last night that, you know, should be in the top 20. And
I'd be shocked.
If they're not in the top 20 next week, then, you know, the voting boxes need to be checked, because they're really good. But, you know, we could have won that game last night. I'm not going to sit here and say we should have. You know, we all know how we feel as coaches, but we were right there to win it. You know, we led that game for almost 28 minutes. They led it for 10. You know, we played two teams last week who are in contention for NCAA tournament bids as well. Now, all three of those games were at home.
All right.
I told our team today, you know, any good team in our league is going to at least go 2-1 on a 3-game homestand. So, you know, now we got to see what we can go do on the road. And there's not an easy game on the schedule. And if you're looking for the easy game on the schedule and you can't find it, then that means it's probably you are the easy game on the schedule. And I can tell you there's no easy ones.
The league is unbelievably deep this year. There are no easy ones. And this is as good an opportunity as ever for the conference to get two bids. It's a long process to try to get there. We've gone through pod scheduling and the efforts, and that's thankfully a relic now at this juncture. No, this has been fun. This has been good. I want to ask you too, before we wrap up. I've talked about your coaching and getting here in 2018. You started the new trend here, right? Your first game, you suited up, right? Won the game. You got the Gatorade bath, so I don't know if that suit was ruined or not. Maybe it was, because you haven't worn it again.
Right.
Right after that, it was to the polos and slacks. I feel like we were one of the first teams to do that. Everybody started doing that during COVID. But that was y'all style from the start. So you're not if you weren't ever a fan of the suits. You like to keep the guys loose.
Well, you know what tends to happen is now it almost everybody. Seems like the distant past now.
Yeah.
You know, I've been doing this. This is my 19th year as a Division I basketball coach, and what always happened in the past is, you know, you'd play in a tournament, you know, one of these midseason tournaments whatever, and generally the coaches all wear, you know, polos right. for those games. And every coach to a man would always be like, oh, you know, get to wear polos, don't have to wear suits. And I always said to myself, you know, if I ever get a chance to be a head coach, like that, you know, that's what I wanted. Like, why wouldn't we do
right.
it? And I started out by saying, okay, at home, because this shows how long ago, you know, because everyone wore suits.
Everyone.
Literally everyone wore suits. And I said, we'll wear suits at home, and on the road, we'll wear polos. And after that first game, we were like, let's just, I think we had a road game in between where we wore polos, and we were like, why not just wear polos all the time?
Right.
And it's funny. For, you know, until COVID, which is when it really changed for everyone. So my first 2 years here, almost every coach, opposing coach that I would talk to, they say, man, I'm so jealous of you not wearing suits. And I'm like, hey, man, you know, jump
take
in the
plunge,
water.
Yeah.
It feels good. So, yeah, you know, kind of ridiculous that we feel like, you know, as basketball coaches, we had to, you know, try and dress like we're on GQ to coach a basketball game. So, hey, we're comfortable out there.
Yeah.
It's great branding for our university. Like, why would we not want FIU on our chest?
Right.
Why would we not want to represent Panther
Nation? So
these
polos are sharp, man. We got the tropical colors going.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, Austin Burnett, Tuna, Michael Leva, those guys have done great jobs of, you know, picking out what we're going to wear. And you know, we get a lot of comments on our outfits. So
I used to suit up every road radio broadcast, but like eventually got to the, if y'all aren't suiting up, what right. the hell am I suiting up?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, the other thing, while we said we weren't going to do it on the road, is like, who likes traveling with suits, you know,
yeah.
on the road?
Yeah, the suitcase is a lot lighter now, to
exactly.
be honest.
And especially in Conference USA when you do travel partners. So, you know, you leave on a Wednesday. A lot of times you don't come back till Sunday. So you're bringing two suits on the road. And,
right.
And so, you know, it just – it really uncomplicates things and just makes it simple and you know, saves money for my staff. And
yeah.
Again, you know, branding for the university and for our department.
I still only insist on the suits with Coach McCall when he joins for the E-Plus broadcast. Yeah. He's like, we have to wear the suits. Coach, come on, let's wear the suits for the process. I still get him on that. But the road trips, yeah, makes the bags a lot lighter. Speaking of road trips, as we finish up here, got Western Kentucky Saturday. Then we back home Monday against North Texas. This time of year really – got to grind through some games. You got three games in less than a week here. What's important Saturday, and then trying to bounce back again against North Texas, a team who just had a 20-plus point lead against us, right? We showed in the FAU game, hey, we're a better team. We can compete against teams that have given it to us before. So what's important the next couple days here as you try to keep this going now and do it now in a road game? Western Kentucky just beat UAB themselves. So it's going to be important.
As it pertains to Western Kentucky, I want to begin by saying I'd be remiss if I did not mention this. Coach Stansbury, their head coach, has been sick with an illness. I think he's been out for the last five games now.
Yeah.
So I want to send my well wishes out to him. He's obviously a legendary coach, a great coach, someone who's been incredibly kind to me as a young first-time head coach. So, you know, we're wishing him a speedy recovery, and I hope that he's coaching on Saturday when we get out there to Kentucky. But Western Kentucky is, you know, one of the proudest college basketball programs, traditions in all the country. And they've had a lot of success since we've been here. They have a ton of talent. And, you know, I think they're 2-3 in conference right now, but that record does not match up with who they are. And they just showed that with what they did at UAB.
Yeah.
You know, going in to UAB, a UAB team that's coming off two losses that I know was breathing fire to get back home to win, and to go in there and to win in that fashion speaks to how talented and how good Western Kentucky is. So we know we're in for it. They have one of the best guards in the country, certainly the conference, and McKnight. They have the best shot blocker in the country, and they are deep. They're one of the biggest teams in the conference. Yeah. So it's going to be a daunting challenge to try to go in there and get a win. But that's certainly going to be our intention. You know, we're preparing mentally, emotionally, physically to try to go in there and be successful. And, you know, one game at a time. And you mentioned earlier, you know, the daunting slate that we had to start conference play. Well, the reality is, you know, with each passing day, you realize, well, guess what? The whole conference play is daunting. But the good thing is you only play one game at a time.
Yep.
And all you got to do is be better than one team on one night. And that's what we want to do, try to be better than Western Kentucky on Saturday, get back down here to Miami and play on MLK Day, which is a special opportunity, and try to get a win against North Texas. So awesome opportunity to – try to prove ourselves against the best teams in the conference, and our guys are hungry to do that.
It was one of the games of the season last year when we played them, Western. That came down to the wire. I think Javonte hit a big shot in the corner and helped get us four. Eric Lovett had some big shots in that game. So if it's anything like that, it'll be a fun one in Bowling Green this weekend. But, no, Coach, this has been fun. We should probably get some rest. I think we got a 5 a.m. wake-up tomorrow or something like that. So
we got farmer's hours tomorrow, so we'll be up early.
All right, man. Appreciate this. Thank you.
Thank you, AJ.
Yep.